Good to be back home after having been gone for a week, and it's good to have you here. Had a very successful meeting, I think, last Sunday through Wednesday, preached 10 times in 4 days, and then Judy and I took a couple days vacation. Went to the Crossville area and got back yesterday afternoon. I appreciate the opportunity to present the lesson this morning. I suppose that in 90% of our prayers, at least, we say something about our appreciation for the death of Jesus on the cross. I've noticed that when our young men begin to lead public prayer, sometimes maybe only 3 or 4 statements in the prayer at first, that usually one of those statements will be something to this effect. We thank God for sending Christ to come and die on the cross and shed his blood for the forgiveness of our sins. That really is the central part of the entire gospel of Jesus Christ. I thought Brother Butterfield did an excellent job this morning as he presided at the Lord's table in reminding us of what this Lord's Supper means, what the death of Jesus Christ has meant to us. Sometimes we may allow ourselves to become so involved in the programs of the church that we fail to think as much and as often as we should about why we are really here and why it is possible for us to be here. And so for just a few minutes this morning, based upon the passage that Michael just read from Romans 5, 6 through 10, let's think about when Christ died for us, the circumstances of the situation then, and what it means to us today. Some of you that are a bit older will remember back in some of the world wars that were fought in which this country was engaged. I would guess that there are some in the audience this morning who probably lost a relative or a friend who died for a cause. All of us can appreciate, though maybe we did not lose someone particularly that we knew, the fact that many of our boys and girls and men and women in ages gone by gave their lives for the cause to make it possible for us to sit in a building like this morning in freedom and worship God. They gave their lives for a cause that involved their families and their friends. They gave their lives for a cause that wanted to keep a nation strong. And even today, occasionally, we lose a young man or a young woman in our armed forces, involved in other parts of the world, perhaps with the idea of helping keep the peace and helping make it possible for us to keep the peace here in this nation. We understand the idea of giving one's life for a cause like that, for a cause that involves our friends and our families, those that are close to us, and for a cause that is so outstanding. But Jesus died for us at a time when the cause was not really for his friends and for those that were strong at the time. I noticed a day or so ago a reference made to the time that President Reagan was shot. If I remember right, it was about 22 years ago, just a day or two ago was the anniversary of it. And they were talking about what happened, and one thing that was mentioned was that one of the Secret Service men literally cast his body over the president's body and took a shot in order to protect the president of the United States. We expect that. We understand that. It's not uncommon for an adult to be injured by an automobile because he threw himself in front of it to knock a child out from front of it and save that child's life. We understand that. We understand that kind of cause. Dying for something that is good. Dying for somebody that is good, somebody that is important, somebody that's outstanding. But that was not exactly the case when our Lord died. A few weeks ago, Judy and I were watching one of the documentary programs. We watch several of those from time to time. And that particular night, there was the story about a man who jumped off of a bridge to commit suicide. And he had been on that bridge for a while, a man that was very disturbed, who didn't really want to live. He'd been on there long enough that the police and the firemen had come to the bridge. They were there with their equipment, trying to talk him out of it, but eventually he jumped. He was in the swirling waters below. For some reason or other, the police and the firemen did not put any boats in. They did not get into the water, but down by the side of the river where he had jumped in, there was a young couple engaged, if I remember right, having a picnic. A young man who had been involved in swimming, even in competition, and was outstanding as a swimmer. He saw what was going on. When no one else jumped in, he jumped into that river and swam over where that man had, trying to commit suicide, had already gone under two times, I think. He went under and found him, brought him up to the surface, and tried to swim against the current. Nobody threw him a rope. The police and firemen simply stood by and did nothing. Eventually, another man who was on the side of the river jumped in and tried to help, and he almost drowned. But this strong young man finally pulled that fellow to the shore. And while he was pulling him, he realized that he was about to lose him. He started giving him mouth-to-mouth resuscitation while he was pulling him in the river with no protection, knowing there's a possibility there could be the AIDS virus present. But he went ahead and did it anyway. He didn't save the man. The man died after he got to the shore. But I sat there and thought about what must be going through that young man's mind to jump into swirling water to try to save somebody he didn't know. Somebody who really didn't want to live. Somebody that probably was not very important, as we think of importance. Somebody who possibly had a disease that he could catch and would affect the rest of his life, but because he wanted to save that man's life, he jumped in when others wouldn't and tried his best to save his life. That's somewhat the way it happened with Christ for us. He jumped in when no one else would. He jumped in when nothing else could save us and give us an opportunity to go to heaven. There are three times in the verses read a few minutes ago that a statement is made that indicates what I have just described on the part of Christ. Notice first in verse 6. When we were yet without strength, Christ died for us. When did Christ die for us? When we were without strength. Not because we were strong, not because we deserved it, but when we were without strength. The Old Testament prophet Jeremiah said at Jeremiah 10:23, "It is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps." He's not strong enough to do it by himself. Jesus said at Matthew 26:41 that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, indicating that mankind is weak by himself. In giving and describing the gospel armor in Ephesians 6, we're told there to put on the armor that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And he says, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. The need of being strong and the inability of man to be strong by himself. We're admonished to be strong in 1 Corinthians 16:13. But the real answer is given in Philippians 4:13, where Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now look at those two passages, the one here in our text, that Christ died for us when we were without strength, And then Paul's statement, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Christ's death for us is somewhat like the service that we give to a baby that's weak and incapable of taking care of itself, or to a sick person who may not even be able to hold up his head and who needs help to get better. Christ died for us when we were weak, when we were without strength. You would sort of expect someone to die for the strong, someone to die for a cause that emphasizes strength, but Christ died for us when we were without strength. Then there is a second statement that is made in verse 8. God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And he goes ahead here in the text and says, you would expect someone to die for a good man. Here's someone who is good, who is respected by everyone. He deserves to live. He deserves the best. Just like the Secret Service man would give his life to protect the President of the United States, here's someone who deserves that protection. You would expect that, he says, perhaps, from a man. But that wasn't the situation with Christ, because Christ died for us in that while we were yet sinners. Christ died for the sinners. And aren't you glad he did? The conversation that he had with Nicodemus at Luke 19:10, he said, the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. We many times find ourselves promoting that which is already good. But Christ came and died for us while we were lost. And Paul at 1 Timothy 1:15 said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Paul realized that Jesus came to give his life for sinners. We're admonished in James 4:7-8 to resist the devil and he will flee from us. And then he says, cleanse your hands and purify your hearts. He's talking about sinners. He's talking to sinners. And that's the type of person for which Jesus died. Jesus died for us while we were yet sinners. And certainly we realize that that's when we needed him the most. The blood of Jesus Christ is said to cleanse us from all sin. In 1 John 1 and verse 7, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Verse 9 there says, and that verse is between two verses that warns us about saying we don't have any sin. And then the next two verses in the next chapter talk about turning to Christ, who is the propitiation for all our sins, for the sins of the whole world. Hebrews 9:22 says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. But 10:4 says, the blood of bulls and goats and things like that could not take care of our sins. A few verses later at 10:9-10, he came to do thy will. I take away the first that he might establish the second. Notice this, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. When did Jesus die? He died for us when we were yet sinners. And his death affects us today because all of us are sinners. Some people like to go out and buy a new house or build a new house and have everything just great when they start. There are others who like to go and find an older house that maybe is dilapidated. And then they begin to work with that house to make it into something that is beautiful. I think that's sort of what Christ did for us. He saw us when we were somewhat dilapidated. But he saw the potential, and he knew what we could be, and he knew what was needed to help us to be what we could be. And so he died for us while we were sinners. And then there is a third statement made in this passage over in verse 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled unto God by the death of his Son. Now, folks, that statement is diametrically opposed to what we usually see when someone gives his life for a cause. Usually, someone gives his life for a cause for his friends and family. This says, when we were enemies. Can you imagine giving your life for those terrorists that are functioning throughout the world today. Can you imagine going down to Cuba, for example, and saying, I'm ready to fight for the cause of the people here. I know they are enemies in a sense, but I'm ready to fight and I'm ready to give my life if necessary for the welfare of the people that live here. We just don't think in those terms, but Christ did. We were reconciled unto God when we were enemies. Romans 8:7 says that the carnal mind is enmity with God. In Romans 2:12-16, a description is given about what Christ did. It talks about reconciling those who were enemies. That may be talking somewhat about Jews and Gentiles being enemies of each other, but the context also indicates that they were enemies with God because he reconciled both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 18, we're told that those who walk according to the flesh are enemies of God. And in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 21, those who are alienated and enemies by wicked works are said to be enemies to God. And in James, the 4th chapter and verse 4, where he talks about, in a figurative sense, the spiritual adulterers and adulteresses, he says, who therefore is a friend of the world is an enemy of God. And that's exactly the ones for whom Jesus died. He died for us when we were enemies. The death of Jesus is different from anyone who ever gave himself or his life for any cause. It is normal for us to think about giving one's life for a cause where there is strength and family and friends and those that are on our side. But three times in this passage, it is said that Jesus died when things were just the opposite. When did Jesus die? Look at the text. For when we were without strength, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And when we were enemies, Christ died for us. If the Son of God was willing to give his life for those who were against God, those who were sinners, those who were weak, should it not just help us to appreciate a little bit more the death of Jesus Christ that makes it possible for us to assemble this morning and worship God with meaning? I believe, folks, if some man gave his life or maybe even was injured trying to protect me, I would appreciate it. And I think I would remember him the rest of my life. And I probably would look for ways to show that appreciation to him the rest of my life. My Lord did give his life for me when I was without strength, for you when we were sinners, and for us when we were enemies. How can anyone fail to appreciate that and to take advantage of it? And that's exactly the opportunity that is given in the invitation. Come and be baptized into Christ and let his blood take care of our sins and give us strength and make us something other than enemies. And that's why the invitation makes it possible when we have failed to show our appreciation to come back and get right with God and receive forgiveness of our sins. Christ died for us when we were without strength, when we were sinners, and when we were enemies. Surely, we're not going to let that death go by in vain. Have you taken advantage of that death of Jesus? If not, you need to right now as together we stand and sing.